The question was asked, what does one say to a non-Jew who's already in their 70s, and that person says, I have issues with the religion I currently subscribe to, but at this age, it is difficult to switch. So we have to analyze this question on two levels. First, the basic question, what do we say to such a person? So the halacha tells us that we don't encourage anyone to become Jewish. And it doesn't matter if it's our parent, our biological parent, or our biological grandparent, or an aunt or an uncle, or someone who could be a very, very fine person. At the end of the day, we don't encourage people to become Jewish. We derive this halacha from Naomi and Rus. Naomi has been living many years with her daughter-in-law Rus, and Rus has been taking care of her, and she married her son, and she's the continuum that she has of her son after she's lost her whole family and all her wealth. And nonetheless, Naomi tells her and Orpah, her two daughters, Shovna v'notai lechna, return my daughters, go back to your father's houses, go back, don't come. It wasn't easy. Naomi cried. And nonetheless, she did it. And that's our responsibility. We don't encourage anyone to join the religion. Not only don't we encourage it, we discourage it. We tell them, you know how hard it is? You know how dangerous it is? You know how much persecution there is? The Shulchan Aruch says, tell the care. Tell them how many Jews suffered, were burned at the stake. Tell them how many people really paid for being Jewish. It's not a fun thing. There are many difficulties to being Jewish. Tell them about the difficult mitzvah. Tell them about the persecution at the hands of the nations. We don't encourage anyone to become Jewish. Quite the contrary, we discourage it. So that would be the answer, regardless of whether it's someone who's 70 or 50 or 20. When people ask, so we say, you have a responsibility to keep the Noahide laws and be a good person. That's on the level of what would we answer the person. On the other hand, if asked, what does God really expect of a person? Well, God expects a person to do what's right. Now, it's very easy to sit here, having been born in a religious home and growing up Jewish, and never having to change too drastically from the way I grew up, and look out at someone else and say, change. Well, I try to think of the last time I wanted to wake up 5 minutes earlier than I usually wake up. And how much thought I had to put into it. Well, does it really pay to get up 5 minutes earlier? And then how many times was I successful and how many times not? That's 5 minutes of my life. I'm sitting here and saying with such ease, change your whole life, change everything you do. So we can't belittle that. That's a tremendous feat. We're going to learn later tonight in our class on Tehillim, the 22nd chapter, our class in which we will discuss about how Chazal interpreted that 22nd chapter with regard to Esther. We're going to discuss that throughout the Tanakh, when the Navi describes Yirei Hashem, when we say it in Tehillim and in Hallel, we're talking about the Gerim. That title, Yirei Hashem, is reserved for the Gerim. Not me. Them. The Gerim. Yirei Hashem are those that have real fear, real awe of God. When one has that, then one can face the challenges of doing such drastic changes. That is the driving force that gives one the strength to do that. You're 100% right. When one becomes a ger, it means leaving the family he grew up with, leaving the lifestyle he led, leaving everything that was familiar to him, and becoming a ger. You know what a ger means? Sojourner, a stranger. You understand, for the rest of his life, the title he will have is ger. So we, in Judaism, we view ger as a word of honor. Wow, he's a ger. I remember the first time I met a ger, 11 years ago. I came home so excited, I called my parents and I said, I met a ger today. Now I'm spoiled. But I had learned about it throughout my years, and I still remember where it was. It was a falafel stand in the Jewish quarter. There was a woman working there, And I don't remember how the conversation evolved, and she told me her name was Rus and that she's a Gioret. And I stood there in utter shock. I said, really? No, it was more than that. It was maybe 15 years ago, 17 years ago. But I was, to this day, I remember the excitement. I met a Ger. Wow. But at the same time, the name is Ger. The person for the rest of his life is going to be contending with the difficulties of being a Ger. He's new to it. What other people were born with, he has to start with at age 20, 30, 40, 50, or 70. No one's saying that's easy. But at the same time, if it, being that we say that's what's right, so you know what? To do what's right isn't always easy. I don't tell this to the 70-year-old. I tell him, don't do it. What are you doing it for? Go keep the seven Noahide laws. Give charity. Be a good person. There are a lot of good things you could do without being Jewish. What do you need this headache for? No way. Don't come close. But if I'm going to talk empirically, then okay, there's what's right and there's what's wrong. And there's the merit of being a Ger, and then there's not being a Ger. So it's true, it's difficult, but I'll share with you that Daniel, when did we go to the hospital together?
More than half a year ago.
It was a little bit more than half a year ago. When we were together in the hospital, I was there for the bris of a man who was 70 years old and becoming a Ger. So there are people who do it.
Yeah. I was just encouraging this one. And by saying what you said, from it's not easy. And I don't think you have to do this and to go on.
But if you keep going on doubting, perhaps you will end up like me, and it's not easy.
I know. I was talking to all the time.
But I was doubting a moment because I thought about this to an old rabbi in our neighborhood. And I saw, I didn't have the time, why, and I realized it afterwards. But I will ask him also, because it's a very difficult question. But I saw him thinking a moment, well, did you do the right thing? So,
well, I think
he
maybe.
He was doubting for a second. Was it right or was it not right in this?
Maybe two things. Maybe there's a limit to how far we push a person away. And maybe he was doubting whether you went beyond that limit. And there's also the question of telling a person why join Judaism is not the same as telling him, go be a Christian. Meaning, we stressed, as we said it, but keep the Noahide laws, which doesn't exactly allow for Christianity.
Yeah, that's also very difficult. Well, I think I stressed that it's the doubting can bring you far from Christianity, but also getting lost.
Part of the deal is getting lost, right? But you know what?
I say, okay, but the doubts are obvious. They're clear to me, and I know.
But there's nothing wrong with being lost. It's not comfortable, but it's part of the growing procedure. I mean, and you know what? If a person ends up dying without discovering the truth, when he'll get to heaven, he'll get a lot of merits for doing what he did. He did the best he could. You can't do more than that. Look, I go online. There are people who are contemplating the Gir Pras who are in touch with me. It's a very tricky.
We're supposed to push more.
Yeah. It's complicated. It's very tricky knowing how to answer them. Very often I'll wait with an email and I'll go consult with my rabbim and ask him, what am I supposed to say in this situation? I'm not looking to encourage him. I'm not looking at, but what do I say? So it's complicated. But one of the things that you see is that people are searching, and there's a process that has to take place. Part of the trickiness is that their sources of information aren't so good. Like a friend of mine who was Jewish told me he's in NYU, and the professor's lecturing about religion, and the professor says, in Judaism, they do not accept slavery. No such concept as slavery. So he didn't want to embarrass the professor because he wanted to pass the course. So after class, he came and opened the Bible and he showed him where the Bible discusses slavery. So he said to the professor, what about this? The professor reads it and says, oh, you're right. Okay? So these people, I see from the questions they send me that a lot of their information is misinformation.
Yeah.
And their perspective on Judaism is wrong. So sometimes you ask yourself, well, what can I tell them? Why can't I tell them? There's no exact rule. And it's tricky, right? That's why a person has to consult with the rabbinic authority and find out each case is individual.